have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. We are followers in training, and this is the Fit Podcast with Tim and Judd.
What's going on, Judd? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Living the dream. It's a little bit different this time. Now we're in two different geographical locations. So thank the Lord for some technology and us be able to still do the podcast. It's been like we've been on a hiatus, and there's been a lot that has happened over the last few months. I'm excited to kind of recap what's going on in our life, what we're looking towards at the new season of the podcast and new season of ministry. We're coming up. It's a new year. Catch me up. It's been since like June since we talked, right? So I think the last podcast, Carter hadn't been born yet, right? So Carter's 6 months old now.
Yeah, 6 months old. I was trying to remember when our last podcast was. I think the last one you did with your wife about Vacation Bible School.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Feels like ages ago.
But yeah, man, Carter is 6 months now, and he's as big as our two-year-old. So our two-year-old is about 24, 25 pounds, and Carter is about 21 pounds, so 20 to 21 pounds.
Oh, wow.
He looks like a big butterball.
So he's in like 12-month clothes already?
Yeah, he's in 9 to 12-month clothes.
That's wild. Easton is too. Yeah. I put him in a 6-month onesie the other day and he popped a snap. So I decided to retire all the 6-month clothes. And my wife, he got spoiled over Christmas, you know, got all his stuff. We told our family to not do Christmas gifts. You know, we don't need any more toys. And they were like, well, what if we already bought toys? Well, I didn't know they bought all of Walmart up. Because by the time Christmas comes around, he's got all these gifts opening up. We said, in lieu of gifts, we'd like to put the money towards whatever they would buy gift-wise into a savings account. So he'd have a savings account building up and a travel account to be able to travel back to see my family in Colorado and that and the other thing. And next thing you know, excuse me, he's got, you know, all these toys. He got wagons and all that stuff, but he got clothes that were meant to fit him in the future, and he's wearing them now. So my kid's big too, which is ironic that that Carter is, you know, tall and big, because not like you and your wife are all that tall.
Right. Yes, kind of hobbit stature.
What's the next thing? So June, Carter was born. July, we had BBS. BBS went off like it should. It was awesome. August came around, and you had a big life change July, August timeframe. Tell us what happened around then.
Yeah, man. So the short version of a really long story, I knew I was called to pastor, and we've talked about it on here before, where, we both served on staff at a church in a staff role, not a senior pastor position. And I'm grateful to the church that I served with for really grooming me and training me on how to do what I'm doing now, do what I was called to do. And so I had been struggling with the call. You know, I think it was it Jeremiah? And in the Old Testament said that there was a fire shut up in his bones. He just had to preach. And so that passion was just growing and growing, and started really feeling the call to go. But I thought, you know, there's not a door that's been opened, and I'm not going to go look for one, because we were comfortable where we were. And that's, I think, where you can get in some trouble, is when you get too comfortable wherever you're serving, where God's got you, because then once you're comfortable, it ultimately leads to complacency. And that's basically where I was at. And the door opened for this little church in kind of East Texas near the Canton area. And I don't know if any of our listeners will know know where that is. Well, I'm sure they will, because it's all family that listens to us. So, so this church actually contacted us back in March, April, well, end of the year of 2020. And then I didn't feel it, you know, I didn't feel like God was leading us here, but we entertained it, communicated with them for a little bit. I ended up meeting with their search committee and we prayed about it and just didn't have a peace at the time. And through some different circumstances and things in our own life, the church contacted us back in July after we had been praying about where God would have us to serve, if we needed to stay where we were at, or we needed to continue to just seek a place to serve, you know. And I'd come to the point where I was like, you know, we're going to serve where God's got us. We're still not going to look. We're great. You know, this is where he's got us for this season. And this church contacted us back in July, and the ball just kind of started rolling from there. And August 22nd, they voted us in as voted me in as pastor, and kind of a package deal with my wife and kids, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, man, been here since August, and I was counting this morning, it's only been 4 months, but there's been a lot happen in 4 months. So exciting stuff.
And that is exciting. We'll get into a little bit in depth of what that new ministry is looking like for you. And it's just wild to see God work in all of that, to see, you know, God's preparation of y'all and God's preparation of the church. And it really has to be, you know, we've got to look at God's timing and trust in the Lord, because if we try to make our own way, then, you know, it reminds me of, if my wife and I would have met 2 months before we did, we would never have been interested in each other. We both talked about that at length, and we were just, you know, different points in our hearts, and God utilized time to prepare us individually to be, you know, to meet in a perfect situation, and then, you know, continue to grow together. And just phenomenal to see that work in your life and in your church. And I don't know, do you want to say the names of the churches? I don't mind saying the name of my, but.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's First Baptist Church, Fruitvale, about 12 miles northeast of Canton, Texas.
So there's a significant uniqueness about Fruitvale, just as there is with Mount Pleasant, because at the during the time of you going to start your pastorate at Fruitvale, God did a phenomenal work in my wife and I's life, and come to find out through also the same similar situation. We had some churches, you know, contacting us, and we prayed about it really hard. What's God's plan? Are we supposed to stay where we were or go somewhere else? And we were heading that direction and, you know, exploring what God has for us. And then God just closed. You know, it's funny. You pray for God to open doors, but you never think about God closing doors. And God closed a door really quickly, unexpectedly on us. And, but then through his faithfulness and our obedience, I believe, we had to be obedient, because at that time it was a really easy time for us to just walk away from the church and from ministry, because of some hurt and pain. But instead, we just turned our eyes completely on the Lord, and God used that circumstance that created so much pain and hurt, to glorify and honor himself in a big way. And I've never prayed so hard or been in the word more than during that season. And next thing you know, God started opening doors for us. And, you know, like y'all, you're just like not at peace with any of those options, you know, just, I don't feel like that's exactly where God's leading us. I mean, yeah, it could be a great opportunity, and we could do a good work there. But next thing you know, God opens this door at Gladewater Baptist Church. And 2 weeks ago, I started my first pastorate. And I, unlike you, did not know I had an inkling over time. I told a church member, asked me what it was like to be called, you know, what was that process like? What was going through my heart and through my mind during the process of becoming a pastor? And you knew it for a long time. You've known it. And for me, I've always had that thought in the back of my mind that desire to go. And I'm like, I could preach, but there's a whole difference between preaching and pastoring. And it took me seeing how it shouldn't be done to really say, you know what? All right, God, I told you to use me how you will. And if this is the way that you're going to use me, then that'd be phenomenal. And, I said just a couple of weeks ago, and I'll find exactly what I said here in just a second, but, God opens this door for us to pastor, and of course, you know, like you, it's a package deal with my wife and I, and I'm so thankful to be here at Gladewater Baptist Church. And we find ourselves kind of in a similar situation, where smaller church, kind of out of town. You're in town, but it's a small town. And so
we have a post office and a Dollar General and a school.
That is typical East Texas, right? But those people, yeah. How many churches are in Fruitvale? Do you know?
Fruitvale proper, as far as there's one, there's only one there's two Baptist churches. One is right on the edge, like it could be considered Grand Saline technically, but it's Fruitvale, and then our church, and there's a Pentecostal church and a Church of Christ, but they're all 6-8 miles apart. They're down Black Tops, way out in the middle of nowhere. So
they're all pretty spread out. Whereas here, I'm in Mount Pleasant. It's confusing because it's Gladewater Baptist Church, but it's in Mount Pleasant, and we've got, I heard somebody said like 52 churches or something. Do you know how many churches are in Titus County?
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. I would figure at least that many, because there's probably 20 in just in Mount Pleasant city limits.
Yeah. And there's three so significantly large Southern Baptist churches in the area. And so I found what I was going to say when I preached a few weeks ago. And in that, when I was called to Gladewater to pastor here, a church member, I posted on Facebook that, quote, I have been called by God to pastor Gladewater Baptist Church. And a church member came to ask me, she said, hey, you know, I'm not coming at you about this, but I have a Church of Christ family member who saw your post that I shared. And she questioned how I received that call, whether it was by phone or a letter or in a dream. And my simple response was, no, it was the ministry of the Spirit and the message of the scriptures, and then the miracle of having everything fall into place as if it had been coordinated so perfectly. And it's the kind of miracle that God could perform, and no man could have orchestrated it better. And we talk about the ministry of the Spirit, and as we get into what we're preaching on, the ministry of the Spirit is incredible. And for us to be willing and to listen and to be obedient to it, but then also the message of the scriptures and having the miracle, you know, this is, I was preaching about the Christmas wisdom, of course, you know, preaching about and teaching about the wise men and how to, you know, have a wise Christmas, you know, the typical, it's funny because, you know, the sermon series is on Christmas. You can only get so creative, but I think we just need to be focused on the gospel during Christmas, you know, just as any other time of the year. And so having that, you know, we both were ministered by the Spirit And then the miracles happened where everything just fell into place. And that's, I think, why you said, you know, it's only been 4 months, but you feel like you've been there a whole lot longer. I've been here 2 weeks and I feel like I've been here a whole lot longer simply because there is a lot of work to do. And that's where I want to get into talking about how the, you know, as we're training for godliness, you and I still continue to do that. We're you know, we are in the depths of training for godliness. And training others, and how the ministry of the Spirit continues, and how the message of the Scripture continues, and how those miracles that God continues to do just fall right into place. So we were texting a couple of weeks ago, and I'm rambling here, so you feel free to interject anytime, but we were texting a few weeks ago about what we were going to preach and talk about getting the podcast up and going again. And you said, I had already determined that I was going to do a sermon series on Acts. And you said, well, I'm actually going to preach out of Acts here pretty quick. So, man, we've been studying. I've already started my sermon series. You're starting is it going to be a series?
No, well, it is, but it's probably not going to be through the entire book of Acts.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it'll take 28 weeks to go through the whole. It'll take 28 weeks to go through the whole book of Acts. So I get it. I understand that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And we just I preached two or three sermons that I had preached already when I first got here, and then I guess about 3 weeks into it, I started a sermon series through the book of Nehemiah, and we went basically verse by verse through the entire book, and it took 8-9 weeks, I guess. And so that was a lot. And then Christmas, Thanksgiving comes. So the last 3 weeks of November, we did like a thankfulness series. And then Christmas, obviously, like we were talking about, we did a Christmas series through Christmas. So I've been working on calendar stuff this year. And I know this is a long explanation for what you just asked, but that's kind of why I'm not going to go through Acts just yet, because I'm not ready to start a long series quite yet, because the next 3 months, so January, February, and March, we've got some big months themed out. Now I've already got the themes laid out and everything, and so if I do go through Acts, it will probably be a summertime series. I'm going to do a series through the seven churches of Asia Minor and Revelation. And that'll be closer to summer. And then I might do Acts after that. But the reason I'm preaching Acts this week is because it's going to be the theme verse for our vision for the upcoming year in Acts 2:47, where it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. It's kind of our vision and our goal for the year. Is each one reach one. And that's the text that it'll come out of. And so everything we do, whether it's Vacation Bible School, a women's meeting, a men's gathering, a youth fellowship, whatever, should all come back to that each one reach one. And that really encompasses three things that I feel like any church, but I don't want to speak into somebody else's church, so this is for ours, but should encompass evangelism, outreach, and discipleship. And I think that those three things fall under that theme pretty well. So that's why I'm preaching that, just to try to get the message across. And then we'll probably go through a series in Acts later on in the year.
So we're our theme verse, again, this is not coordinated. This is orchestrated, which is pretty amazing to me. How God just worked through this, but our theme verse for the series is the same, Acts 2:47, starting at the beginning, though, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number day by day. And so I started last week with kind of an overview, and it, by the way, it's those who are being saved. So I want to focus in on that. If you have a home church, this is to the listener. If you have a home church, this is a significant thing to think about when you talk about evangelizing and revitalization or revival or how the book of Acts really paints the picture of the church. There is a thing called transfer growth, and that's when, you know, a Christian goes to another church, and that happens. And I'm not condoning that, or I'm not condemning that either. You know, I'm not saying you should pack up your stuff and go to another church. I do feel like you need to go where the Lord leads you. However, our focus is not on inviting, and it's trying to change that. That really, for me, not coming from a church background, I'm trying to communicate that we need to change our outlook as a Baptist, as a believer, more importantly, that traditional outlook of, you know, inviting people to church. Because the problem is if we just constantly invite people to church, we know that revival or revitalization, and I don't know the situation with your church, but that's where we're at. We're in the heart of a revitalization. And for us, revival is for Christians, right? You can't be revived unless you've first been vived. But the Acts is not talking about reviving Christians. For instance, we're talking about adding to the number day by day, those who are being saved. And so instead of building the church around reaching people, including those people who are already involved in a local church, a member of a local church, serving a local church, we're not after them, we're after the lost. And that's where the early church. So for me, you know, I believe that I'm sure believe that the copy of the copy of the original is not as good as a copy of the original. Did you copy what I'm saying there?
That's good.
We need to copy the original, and the original church is the early church. It's the book of Acts. We can read about it and study that. And that's why we're going to do a full series, and we're going to do it on Sundays and Wednesdays. So it'll only be about 3 months. And it'll be a 3,000 foot view, and it'll encourage personal study time. So I'll give maybe a tidbit from the chapter or the basis of the chapter, and then throughout the week allow for our members to go in depth in their own personal study and reading time, but also building up to, we're, you know, a few months behind you in vision casting and those sort of things, but building up to, this is our 150th year the church has been in existence. It was found on Christmas Day in 1871. And so it's a big deal. And we're going to celebrate that the 6th of February. And at that time, that's when, you know, that vision casting will come. But to build up to that, we need to talk about what it is to be the church. We don't need to ask ourselves, you know, what do we want the church to be? We need to ask ourselves, what does God want Gladewater Baptist Church to be? And I think that's very clearly laid out in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord will add to our number day by day, those who are being saved. And so it's very exciting because I get to start this. We started the sermon series with a complete overview of the book on Sunday. And so I'm starting in Acts chapter 1 and 2 this Sunday, and we're starting the service with a baptism. So how awesome is God working through this? So as we train for this, what are some things, and this is just off the top of your head, so you might have to think on it for a second, but what are maybe three points of or tangible items, maybe in the Baptist world we call them resolutions. What are three things that can come to mind for your church to be able to accomplish the vision? And if you have to think about it, it's okay, because I already got mine, and I can share mine and while you think about it.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
So three things tangibly for our church would be that we need to find a purpose, right? What is our purpose in the local community, and how can we, as a local church, serve the local community? So we have that's going to be our, if you have a Venn diagram of three circles, the three circles being the church, and another circle being missions, and another circle being evangelism, whether that be local, personal, or even it can kind of, obviously all the circles will overlap. So missions and evangelism overlap, and the church and evangelism overlap, and the church and missions overlap. We support missions and heavily, and we encourage missions, and hopefully we'll be able to go on a mission trip here prayerfully soon. But there's a point in the middle where all of those overlap. And so I want to be focused on that that center point of the purpose of our church and what is laid out, you know, and how we fulfill what Christ says in Acts 1, verse 8, when we receive the Holy Spirit, or we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And so we're saved, right? And then we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we'll talk about the local community, the state, the country, the world. I think that's what Christ is meaning about that. So how are we going to do that? We're going to focus in on one area of our local community that we can hone in on for the next year, and that is our focus. And then we have missions, and then we have evangelism. So that personal evangelism. So that's one. We're gonna talk about, and I'm not gonna unveil what that is right now, but we're gonna talk about that. The next thing is how we can support the local missions that are already going on, and so that'll be another one. And the third thing is going to Acts 2:47, added to their number day by day those who are being saved. And it's intentionally, I'm asking for a commitment from every church member as we get in the word and as we study and as we train on how to do this, that we will intentionally reach one person and commit to reaching one person per month. So it's a playoff of the who's your one. It's a playoff of your each one reach one, but each person going out and maybe, so I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. It might be reaching that Christian who hasn't been in church for a while, because that's a big deal right now. But so it might be that you are not exactly reaching the lost, but you're reaching a wayward or a non-committed Christian to a local church body, because we see the need. If the last 2 years has taught us anything, we see the need of fellowship. And when God comes to church, people are devoted to fellowship. And so if we focus in on one person, each of us, well, our church of 30 will grow to 60. And you see what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about numerical growth mm-hmm. as much. I'm not trying to put as much of an emphasis as I am on the spiritual growth that will come with that, because people, you know, when God comes to church, people get saved and baptized. When God comes to church, people are devoted to fellowship. They're devoted to prayer. They're devoted to doctrine. That's all laid out in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. So that's the devoted to the cross. That is not, in the Baptist world, we might think that's devoting ourselves to a meal, right? To fellowship around a meal. But it's actually devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, being the Lord's Supper. So to the cross, and reminding ourselves of the cross daily, and the prayers. And then when God comes to church, people will be amazed by God's power. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So there's where we're at. That's 3 points where this next year, that's our goals. That's the vision that, you know, to fulfill what God tells us. You know, the book of Acts is both prescriptive and descriptive. So there are some things in the book of Acts that we're prescribed to do, we're told to do. And then there are some things in the book of Acts that are explained on what happened. And we can't look at it, at the book of Acts, as prescriptive or descriptive. If we looked at it prescriptive, then we'd be saying that every believer, you know, has the gift of tongues. Well, that's not true, because I don't have the gift of tongues. And if you're going to tell me that I'm not saved because I can't speak in tongues, then I'd call you a heretic, because I know that I'm saved. That biblically. And so, all right, that's a rabbit trail. What are your three? If you had three.
Yeah. So I guess I'm glad you went first because I misunderstood. I thought you were talking about how to like reinforce your vision and keep people going forward with it throughout the year. So I'm glad you went first because that, but I might approach it from that angle, because when you cast the church vision, you would typically do it for the whole year. You know, you'd say, all right, this is going to be our vision for the next year, and everything we do, we want it to come back to this. Well, you know as well as I do that we live in I call it an express society. I think it was Tim Hawkins, the comedian, that talked about he saw a Taco Bell Express, and he asked, is good old-fashioned Taco Bell not quick enough for you? And we live in a society where we want everything now, but that has created a attention deficit disorder, in my opinion, because we won't commit to anything. There's such a lack of commitments today. And I told the other day, we live in a society where our Snapchat streaks last longer than our marriages and our relationships.
Right.
And that's a sad state of affairs. But I said that at church one day, and I had to explain what a Snapchat streak in story was, because whenever you say the word streak in a group of older adults, they think of Ray Stevens. So I'll let our listeners go Google that if they don't know what I'm talking about. Just Google Ray Stevens, the streak. But so I think one of the things that we've got to do with our vision is come up with ways to reinforce it, to keep people excited about it, so that you don't cast your vision in January or February and then get to June or July and nobody remembers what the vision is, or they just kind of it burns out. So some of the things that we're going to do to keep it moving forward, this is an idea that I prayed about, spent a lot of time in the Word and with the Lord, just asking Him to give me ideas for it. And you nailed it, talking about how you've got to basically come up with a vision that exalts Christ, you know, it glorifies the Lord. And it's got to be given from Him, because if it's something that we've come up with on our own, it's not going to make it. It's going right to fail. And so I think that's the first thing, is you've got to make sure that your vision is biblically based, biblically centered, and that it is given by the Holy Spirit, that he gave it to you and said, run with this. And that it fits your church demographically. Obviously, if God gave it to you, then it's going to fit your church. And so what we're going to do throughout the year, we've got a dinner planned for the second week of January. So we'll do vision casting this Sunday. And then the second week of January, we'll have a dinner with a breakout panel of some guys that have been in ministry a long, long time. And that's going to kick off the year, just hopefully getting people excited about the vision, about, hey, this isn't just something our pastor came up with. Our pastor didn't come up with church vision. This is a real deal. This is a real thing that churches should be doing, because we've seen it over and over again. A church that's not actively moving forward falls backwards. And backwards, if you're declining, you're dying, basically. And so we want to get our folks excited about that. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is, I think almost redundantly putting that theme in people's hand keeps them excited about it, makes them remember it. It's stamped into their brain that every time they get up to go to the bathroom, every time they go get a cup of water, they remember that each one, reach one, because it's somewhere in their home. It's all over the church. And I'm just using our vision motto for the year. Just, you know, you can plug yours in there, but they see it everywhere, so that they remember it becomes part of their daily life. They take it with them. It's going to be on bulletins. It's going to be on handouts. It's going to be on our newsletter every month. That's the second thing, just getting people to remember it every day. And then the third thing, and I think these are three of the top things that we're going to try to do to keep the vision going and people excited about it, is throughout the year, we'll have different dinners, different events I know with the Hoosier One initiative, there were churches that would do that, a Hoosier One dinner, and it was celebrated whenever that one came to know Christ and they brought them to church and all that. And so we're going to do something similar there. We'll have dinners. We'll have probably not the same structure that we're going to do this month, but we'll have different dinners and events throughout the year to remind people, hey, this is still going on. You know, just because we talked about it a lot in January, and then because I'm not going to preach an each one reach one sermon every Sunday, obviously, it's going to be kind of a thesis this month, and then everything that we do will come back to it. But I want to have different, maybe quarterly, different ideas and events to point people back to it. Just so you used the word tangible a minute ago, so you're putting that vision in people's hand and they've got something to run with. You know, I love to compare things to football and baseball and in sports. If the quarterback takes the snap and he turns around and he fakes the flip of the football to the running back, and he doesn't really get the football and he runs 85 yards and does his little dance in the end zone, but he doesn't have a football to run with, it's pointless. So if you don't give the people something, put it in their hands to run with, then you won't see the results that you want, in my opinion. And that is not worth much, but that's the way I'm prayerfully moving forward here with what we're doing.
Well, and I think that tangibleness comes from the word too. I think that I think it's good, you know, same thing. I mean, my series on Acts is not going to last for forever, right? So but as we go throughout the year, and we turn back to what God wants to do with our church, and as we through our obedience, that might look like some changes, but it's all based off of Scripture and the message of Scripture and the ministry of the Spirit, and the miracles will come through that. I mean, we're already seeing the evidence of that with we're at, you know, we have three new members coming forward this Sunday. We've got a baptism. These are all miracles of God, not of our doing. And so if you, that tangibleness of the message of Scripture and getting our churches back to the Bible, a friend of mine, actually, you might know him, Justin Todd Herod. He's a Palestinian guy. He does a back to the Bible study every day, Facebook Live. And it's been a while since I listened to him, but that back to the Bible is an important thing. I mean, we there is nothing that we can do apart from this living word of God and his power, right? And we would not have any clue of what to do and how to serve and worship and lead. And we wouldn't be a church without Christ. And so just focusing on the fact that Christ, you know, every week the gospel has to be proclaimed clearly and simply, the fact that Christ died for our sin, the fact that everything was perfect and sin entered the world, and there's no other way other than the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And so we have to focus on that, and otherwise there will be no each one reach one. Otherwise there would be no adding to their number day by day, those who are being saved. Otherwise we're just a glorified country club of a church, right? Called a church.
That's right.
And so we got to get back to the Bible and think more about, you know, be more extra Jesus rather than inner Jesus. You know, yes, don't get me wrong, God is doing a wonderful work in so many people right now, and we should cherish and glorify him and exalt the name of Jesus because of that. And we do that by bringing other people to the point of knowing Christ, right? Explaining to them clearly and communicating the gospel and showing them the message of Scripture, teaching the message of Scripture, teaching them the miracle of the star, the light, I, you know, listen to a lot of different preachers, a lot of different podcasts, and it's like, man, I'm so excited because of that revival that is upon our generation right now, that if we just get back to the word and back to the Bible, then God is unstoppable, and we are just a part of that. And so I'm excited with what's going on at Fruitvale. I'm excited about selfishly what's going on at Gladewater, but you might share the same.
Oh man, you should be excited. That's awesome.
I think that this next season of podcast will get in depth of, it'll be good. I'll be going through acts. You'll be going through what you're going through. And maybe this podcast is a good resource for other young pastors in a small town or even a big town, a small church in a big city. And maybe it's a good resource for the church member who you might be feeling that call to ministry, and you can hear it firsthand, you know, some of the experiences that we're having, the thoughts that are going through our mind. And we might even talk about some struggles that we are facing and different things, maybe some mistakes that we make. We are not perfect. So look forward to this next season. Do you have anything before we close this out?
I don't, man. I've missed this, and I'm glad we got to do it. And thank the Lord for technology that allows us to do this.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you wouldn't mind, if you close us out in prayer, if you are listening right now, you're not going to listen to the end. So I'm going to just tell you this right now. Please like and share this podcast. We have social media pages. We're on all the podcast outlets. So share this with somebody who you think might benefit. We don't make any money on this or anything like that. It's just we hope that it blesses you and that you are encouraged to get involved in your local church and are encouraged to get in the word and be in prayer for each other.
Yeah. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Tim. Father, we just come to you now, God, grateful for the opportunities that you've given us to serve in your church. God, the fact that you have not called the qualified, but you are qualifying the called. God, we are humbled at the opportunity to be able to serve where you've got us. Father, I pray that we would lead well. And Lord, I just ask that anybody that listens to this podcast, Lord, if they've made it this far to the end, maybe they've struggled with something, maybe they needed some encouragement. God, I pray that you would just meet them wherever they are, that you would wrap your loving arms around them. But God, ultimately, that you would be glorified through their situation. Lord, we know that ministry is not easy, that it's lonely, it's tough, it's just a hard calling, but Lord, it is a high calling. And so we just pray that any young pastor, any staff person, anybody that's serving in a church that's just struggling, that they would find encouragement through this podcast, but God, ultimately, they would find their peace and their joy in you and you alone. Lord, we thank you for the technology that's allowed us to be able to do this, to be an encouragement to those people that will listen. And we just ask that this ministry would continue to grow and be effective to everybody that comes in contact with it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that does it for the Fit Podcast today. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, like it on Spotify, do whatever you need to do, share it on social media. All the things. Otherwise, if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us at fitpodcasthost@gmail.com or on our social media outlets. Y'all have a good week and God bless.